When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello there and welcome to 1865, and this is our match report from the Carabao Cup game away at Blackburn Rovers, and I am your host, Rich Ferraro. In a few minutes we'll be hearing from a Blackburn fan and we'll be hearing from a Reds fan who is at the match. But before we do that, let's have a look at the team news. So the expectation was that it would be Forest who put out more of a reserve team, but in fact it was Blackburn who made a number of changes to their lineup. And Forest actually went with more or less a first team, I would say. So they had Henderson in goal, Williams and Toffolo at fullback, Worrell and Bolly at centre half. They had Froiler holding the midfield with Ryan Yates and Oral Mangala. And then Taiwo Awoniyi was flanked by Brennan Johnson and Jesse Lingard. Now, before we go any further with our match analysis, let's hear what a Blackburn fan had to say about what turned out to be a thumping victory for the Reds.
Hi, it's Dan from the Rovers Chat YouTube channel, website, Twitter account, everything really, covering everything Blackburn Rovers. I just wanted to sit down to discuss the match, discuss who I thought in press, some talking points from it really. I think I sit there and the overriding feeling is outclassed, and I don't think that's anything to be disappointed by in terms of Rovers' position. You know, we go one down early on from a penalty, and I feel like I kind of worried that it might go 2 or 3 nil straight away, and then, you know, we kind of sat there for 45 minutes without anything to watch. But Rovers kind of held out and then got back into it before the break. And as a Rovers fan, you know, in the league lower with a weakened team, you kind of sit there and think, maybe we can nick this if we bring a Brereton on, a Dak on, you know, keep it at 1-1. But we concede early, and that kind of opens the gates of Rovers having to go for it. And I know it sounds like sour grapes when anyone ever mentions the referee. I know it does if I watch a reaction or listen to a reaction afterwards. But I felt like the third goal really should have been a foul on Dolan. But you go up, you score. And then Rovers trying to attack and we concede again. I don't think we've, as a Rovers fan, I can't come away from that and be annoyed. I think we've been beaten by a better side with better players in it. I think we've been honestly beaten, and that's what you expect. You know, we got through West Ham in the last round and we thought maybe we can do the same to you this round. Your team were a bit stronger than I expected, but I think it kind of showed. Brennan Johnson, who we know he's better than the Championship, and he's kind of shown that again tonight. And then Jesse Lingard, who's a better player than the Championship. I'll always butcher his name up front. Awoniyi, you know, better than Championship. I know he didn't really do too much, but he's better. Lewis O'Brien, Toffolo, all these players that are easily good enough for a Championship side, and it easily fit in our side. And at the end of the day, I'm not worried about it. I'm not disappointed. For Forest, I hope they go as far as they can. I think there's some good sides in there to face. I think if you avoid Newcastle, Man United, and then the winner of City and Liverpool, you've got a serious chance at a semi-final, and who knows what can happen over two legs in that. You've a chance of going for it this year, and I think for a club of your position this year, you know, relatively, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn if I say relegation's what you want to avoid, and that's it. If you finish 17th, you don't really care, and that's kind of, this is your tournament to go and win, isn't it, and your tournament to go and do something in. So I wish you all the best of luck with that. You know, fan of Forest, much better than some of the other clubs in the Prem. So I hope you go and stay up, and I hope, you know, you come back to be the club you once was. But thanks for watching. If you want to check out anything from Rovers Chat, we put out a reaction. We'll be putting some play ratings out. Just find Rovers Chat on YouTube, Rovers Chat _ on Twitter, Rovers Chat on Facebook. Just search Rovers Chat, you'll find us. But thank you to everyone, and good luck for the season.
Okay, thank you very much, Dan. And thank you also to Rovers Chat for having me on for the match preview as well. Now, we have had a slight sickness issue at 1865 Towers, and we were expecting to have Tom attending the match and doing this match report. So As you can tell, he's not here, but we are delighted to be joined by our super sub, Forest fan and football writer, George Edwards. Hi there, George. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for having me. Brilliant.
Okay. So, George, let's just start off with a couple of things that Dan mentioned and that we've already alluded to. The team news. How surprised were you, firstly, that Forest put out quite a strong team, and secondly, that Blackburn actually made quite a lot of changes?
If I'm honest, I expected the Blackburn changes because they're in the midst of a season. Obviously, they beat Norwich at the weekend, which was a really good win for them. So I was expecting quite a few changes, maybe not 11 like they made, but I wasn't expecting a reasonably strong Blackburn team. But maybe I was quite happy, actually, to see Forest play a good team because it was almost treated as a sort of friendly, because if we'd have lost, I don't think there'd have been that many too despondent fans. But obviously, playing Valencia and teams like that, it's not really a gauge. So playing against a team that's had championship games week in, week out over the last sort of 2 weeks, I think it was a really good game to have. So I do like that Cooper played a relatively strong team, only four changes from our last game. I think it was really good to see that those players play. And I think if that team played against United, there wouldn't be that many fans disappointed. So I think it was a good move from Cooper and they got the job done in the end.
Well, yeah. So it's worth pointing out, I suppose, that Forest did take a relatively early lead, as Dan mentioned there. And of course, in a game like this, away from home against, you know, let's be honest, it is a potential banana skin. As you said, I don't think too many people would have been that surprised if Forest had gone in half cocked. But then, as I'd said in the match preview with Rovers chat, Forest also want to use the cup as a bit of a springboard. We did the Tottenham match in the last round, acted as that. The FA Cup run last season really helped us along with our promotion push. So in that respect, getting an early lead is what you want. And it was a penalty by Brennan Johnson, which Johnson himself had won. Oh, no, Lingard had won, hadn't he?
It was Johnson, actually, I think, that won that. Was Freuler knocked him through, and then Johnson, he skipped past one challenge, and then as he fell into the second challenge, I think it was Wharton who brought him down, and it was quite a clear penalty. It was a nice move, actually, because we'd been on top over the in the opening stages, particularly down Johnson's side. So it was good that he was getting involved and getting in there. It was really being very direct. So, and he obviously had the chance with the penalty to put his early involvements into a goal, which he did perfectly, sending the goalkeeper the wrong way.
Yeah, and not only that, the other thing I would say that I think is the type of penalty I don't think we've seen Johnson take, because he hit it across his own body to the left of the goal as you look at it. And generally we've seen him once well and once really badly go up the middle. We've also seen him put the ball to the other side. So for him to hit across it, it's good to know that he's adding new strings to his bow, because obviously, especially in the Premier League, we're not going to get penalties often enough to be able to afford to waste them when we do. So it's good to know that he's been practicing,
Yeah, exactly. Especially that Wolves game where that's the penalty we've had that he missed, and he went to that right side. So I think it's good that he's got the mental strength to carry on taking penalties, and that's only going to build him more as a footballer, isn't it?
Yeah. And now you mentioned that a lot of the play was going down that side. Before the World Cup, Baz and I had said that the likes of Brennan and Nico Williams, and maybe even Freuler, they're going to go to the World Cup, and whatever happens to their nations, they're going to come back going, well, that was a great experience, I'm going to be raring to go for the rest of the season. Whereas if you're a team full of England players, then they're going to come back disappointed and a bit tired. Did it look like, I mean, it sounds as if Brennan in particular, he'd come back fired up, ready to go.
Yeah, a lot of them. I think obviously because they're not straight backs, so they've had quite a few weeks, maybe had a week off or something, and then to get into it, especially I think Nico put in a brilliant performance given what he's had to go through being in Qatar when all that happened for him. So he was magnificent last night, and to put a performance in like that is top class from him. But yeah, Freuler, he was in the midfield. He went a bit missing at times, which he often does, but he was sort of in there defensively as well as a sort of shield for the defence. He did well. So those three did look particularly fresh. It was just interesting that Hennessy wasn't on the bench. That was the one thing I picked up on, especially with United coming at the weekend. So I'm just wondering what's happening there.
Well, there's two schools of thought, isn't there? Well, maybe three. So one is that he was unavailable for whatever reason. Two is that Forrest have rested him to keep him fresh for United. Or three is that, I guess, that Forrest could have put him in to give him a bit of practice before United, and they chose not to for whatever reason. So, I mean, we've not heard anything about him being injured or unavailable for whatever reason. So we have to assume it's a case of let's keep him, wrap him in cotton wool because we're going to need him at Old Trafford.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that if it wasn't involved, he'd have probably wanted Jordan Smith to have a few minutes to warm him up. So it probably is that reason, I'd say.
Yeah, okay. Now, worth pointing out, Forest were 1-0 up, and they really, really should have gone maybe 3, maybe even 4 goals up in that first half, shouldn't they?
Yeah, big time. Particularly at 1-0, he had quite a few chances. Coming off that right-hand side again, Johnson, he had one himself early on as he got past the back line and hit the touchline, and the keeper made a good save. But then he was getting some brilliant balls into our 1-0. I think it was midway through the half, 1-0 had his best chance. It was cut back from Johnson. And then the 1-0 was sort of, I've not seen a replay of it, but I think it was about 8 or 9 yards out. And he just sliced it going towards the bottom left corner and it just went wide. I think Lingard was sliding in as well. I mean, he couldn't get to it. But at 1-0, I think he had 6 shots in total in the end. And obviously we'll come to that after he scored in the end. Mm-hmm. But by the time that half time came around, Forest should have been at least 3 or 4 up. So, but in football, if you don't take your chances, then you get paid.
Well, and we did, didn't we? Because Blackburn had not really looked like scoring at all, and then they did. So yeah. Talk us through that.
Yeah, well, it was interesting because they got a free kick on the left wing, and around me, I was thinking it's not a free kick. It looked like Williams just got a foot on the ball, got a good tackle out for a throw-in, and the referee gave a free kick to Blackburn. I know the Blackburn fan wasn't too pleased with him in the second half, but I was a bit confused as to where that came around because it looked like a decent challenge. But yeah, it was... interesting because they had two brothers playing. I think it was Adam Wharton and Scott Wharton. Mm-hmm. So they combined for that goal. It was whipped in on the touchline, left hand side from Adam, and then the centre back who fouled Johnson, sorry, for the penalty. Mm-hmm. He got ahead of Worrell, and I mean, Worrell I think needs to work on his marking because there's a few times that his players maybe nip past him at the near post, and that's exactly what he did. He just got away from Worrell, a bit more pace. Headed it in at the near post. Maybe Henderson could have done a bit better, but it came at him quickly. And just before the break, I think that's a decent time to concede. I know people say, some people think it's a good time to score, but I think you've only got a couple of minutes left and then you can get in, clear your heads and reset for the second half. So I think it's what we needed as well because we couldn't afford to start being complacent and thinking we'd won the game. So it was good to have that sort of kick up the backside and make sure we were still working in the second half.
Yeah, interesting you say that. We'll come back to Steve Cooper later on, but he did make a point in his post-match interview of saying basically he had to give him a bit of a kick up the backside at half-time.
The 1865 Match Report. You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Blackburn did try to capitalise upon their goal, which was, as you say, just before half time. They tried to capitalise that in the first few minutes of the second half, and you know, Forest had to defend at that point, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Blackburn came out a lot with a bit of confidence, and from that goal, I think it's half time came at a good time for Forest, like you say. So Steve could step in and give the players some advice, but I think Forest handled it pretty well. They didn't really have many shots, even though they had a few possession, quite a lot of possession in the opening sort of 5 minutes of the half. They didn't really make any goal scoring opportunities. And I think Forest coped with it well, like I say. And from their defending and their resilient defending, they counter-attacked them. And that's where their third goal came just after half-time. Their second goal, sorry, as they went back into the lead. But because, I think they coped with that storm pretty well.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously, as football fans, what we do is we say, well, we should have had a 3 or 4 goal lead.
Yeah.
We let the opponents equalise, and then, you know, your brain goes into overdrive thinking we're typical Forest, we're going to throw this away. So, Lingard on the break, that man Scott Wharton once again involved. And again, I've seen, not just Dan, but I've seen a few Blackburn fans on Twitter saying, well, the decisions, all the 50-50s went Forest's way. I've not seen it. But it sounds like Scott Wharton was a very lucky man to stay on the pitch.
Yeah, so particularly for not being booked for the penalty incident, he was pretty lucky, to be fair, because it was a very similar situation. It was just outside the box. Lingard was sent through, I think, by Freuler or someone on the right, Williams maybe, from halfway. And he did a brilliant run towards the edge of the box. And you could see it all day long that he was going to get brought down. They weren't going to let him run any further. So I think three or four of them tried to put some challenges in. And in the end, he was brought down by Wharton. He looked like the last man. I think maybe they had a man on the cover because I was directly behind the goal, so as all the Forest fans were. So I think there might have been a man on the cover. And it didn't. It looks like a... I don't think he was trying to get the ball, really, but it wasn't a high or a rash challenge. So I would say it was probably the right decision to give a yellow card, not a red, because I think that would have ruined the game anyway. I think it was... It was a good test for Forest to be against 11 players at a decent championship level. So I think it was probably the right decision from the referee there.
And you are the first person I've heard who of a red persuasion who said that. Steve Hodge on the radio was going a bit crazy about it, but he also said that justice was done because Nico rolled the free kick to the side. Jesse Lingard ran onto it. And something that is basically like a game of pinball. It took a double deflection, one off the wall, one off the man tried to cover behind. And Ainsley Pears was never going to get there. Despite having having a very good night at the office, Pears just couldn't stop that one, could he?
No, I think I was surprised, actually, because I saw it. It flipped aside to Lingard and then the wall was in the way and then suddenly it was trickling in the net next to me. I was thinking, eh? But I think it was clear there was a deflection on there and obviously it was a very kind deflection because it was sort of the one place there was no defenders, there was no goalkeeper because he'd already seen the direction the free kick was going. Mm. So, and obviously Lingard then had a little dance as he likes to do.
I was going to say this because there's a few Forest fans saying, oh, Scott Wharton's kind of overdone his celebration by trying to shush the crowd. Yeah. And I'm going, you can't say that when Jesse Lingard's giving it the full beans for scoring a double deflection.
you can have it one way or the other, can't you? I mean, it's a bit like Brazil in the World Cup, innit? You either like it or you don't. I don't mind it personally, but, we'll take it.
And really, that put Forest pretty much in control, didn't it? Yeah. They controlled the game. So the next incident of note was actually pretty much... So actually, I should just point out that, obviously subs started being made. O'Brien came on for Mangala on 63 minutes. Blackburn made a couple of subs as well on 70, 72, 73 minutes. In fact, they made a triple sub. So they were trying to kind of do what they could to get back into the match at 2-1. So Forrest really needed the third goal. And what I really like about it is that Toff crosses a halfway line, gives it to Lingard, who's out on the left-hand side. And Lingard is basically a blind pass, isn't it? Mm. But Taiwo Awoniyi was able to run onto it in the box, turn inside, cut inside, and then sent it past Ainsley Pears in the goal. So... yeah, Taiwo might have needed six chances to get his goal, but when he did, it was quite a goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a brilliant finish from him, to be fair. And as soon as he turned the defender, rolled him on the floor, it looked like he was going to score, and he just had to round it off, really. I think Lingard, though, it was the perfect game for him because he needs time and space on the ball, and he needs runners, and he had that all the time. I mean, when he got the ball from Toffolo, he looked around him. There wasn't many players around him, and there was no one within 5 yards of him. So he had time to touch and then play it through to Awoniyi, who ran into it. And I hope this confident player, Lingard, obviously towards the back end of the few games we had before the break, and now I hope this really confident and exuberant player, Lingard, can carry on, because it's only a good thing if it carries on like this, especially with Scarpa coming in and providing the competition for places. It's only a good thing, really.
And as we've said many, many times, and our regular listeners are probably fed up of me saying, Jesse Lingard wants to be playing with a smile on his face. That's when you get the best out of him. So just right at the death, Brennan Johnson got his second goal. It was a bit of a Brennan Johnson special, really, wasn't it? And what a way to round off the night, because we should have been 4-0 up, 4-1 up at half time. So to get four goals and to round off the game like that was a pretty good feeling, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was brilliant, and it was just a feeling of relief in the crowd, because I think it 4-1. I think it was a very fair reflection of the match, and that fourth goal, it was always coming. It was Surridge who laid it beautifully for him. I really love Sam Surridge; he's my favourite player. I just want to say I love Sam Surridge. But it was a brilliant pass from him. He received it, played it through to Johnson, and it was such an excellent finish. He got the ball on the right hand side of the box, and he had one thing in his mind: across the goalkeeper, low and powerful. And he slotted it right there. You couldn't have asked for anything more from him. It was such a confident performance throughout the 90 minutes. And he definitely deserved that second goal. And the perfect knee slide as well to finish it off right against the Forest fans. It was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, one criticism that you can lay at Brennan's door is that he sometimes makes the wrong decision, doesn't he? Sometimes he shoots when he should be crossing and vice versa. But at the same time, I always say that with forwards, you don't want to take that away from them. You want them to be having a go, even if they get it wrong sometimes, because it means that they'll be doubly determined to make it work, even if it is, you know, stoppage time when you've already won the game.
Yes, exactly. And in the few minutes, like when he did that shot into the keeper and he saved it, from that minute on, he suddenly had his head up and was looking in the middle. So I think that opened his eyes, really. And it was definitely the right decision to shoot there. And it's one of the best games I've seen him have, really, because he's never, in a few games this season, he's been involved, but just a few little flashes. Whereas yesterday, he had loads of touches. He was really not just going long for the ball, but coming short, getting it off the midfielders, and then running down the line. There was once, actually, Blackburn were all right in the press, and the press was right into the corner. Henderson just booted it up the field, and it looked like it was going out. Johnson had one arm on his man, stood on the halfway line, brought it down brilliantly, and just sprinted past him. And I was like, there's such a good player in there, and I just hope that he can get involved more and show that more, and then who knows where it can go.
Yeah, and worth pointing out as well that Blackburn had taken off their left back at half time because that's a sign of how much Brennan was terrible. So obviously the Premier League is more difficult, but just like with Lingard, he'll get his confidence up and that'll give him a bit of belief, I think. So it finished 4-1 to the Reds. Steve Cooper did say afterwards there were bits of the performance he didn't like. The result was good, but we should have been out of sight after 15 or 20 minutes. We should have been more ruthless and aggressive with our play. I never felt like we did not control the game, but I did not like our decision making after that first goal. However, he also said Brennan was a right threat today. It was only a matter of time before he was creating and scoring again. He took the penalty really well and looked clinical. Overall, it's a job well done and there's loads of positives, but some bits I didn't like as well. So as always, Steve Cooper being very, very honest with his appraisal of the game. Now, I'm just going to leave the game to one side for the last part of our podcast today, because there was also some news coming out of Forest this morning, which is that they are going to have a name on the front of the shirt from New Year's Day onwards. They've announced a partnership with the UNHCR, which is the UN's refugee agency, that will see the charity's logo appear on the front of the shirts from the Chelsea game and for the rest of the season. They've also backed that up with a financial donation. Evangelos Marounakis has supported the United Nations and UNICEF before via his ownership of Olympiacos. And he said, we're delighted that for the remainder of the season, we'll use the front of the famous Nottingham Forest shirt to tell such an important story. It'll be an honour to display their name in support of this important cause. And I hope fans of Nottingham Forest will also be proud we've chosen to highlight the work of UNHCR for the remainder of the season, in addition to the local causes our community trust supports. This comes at a time when the world faces enormous challenges in helping the most vulnerable people in society. Now, I don't know about you, George, but I'm immensely proud that Forest, I'm sure at the start of the season, they'd have wanted a £10 million commercial sponsor. That's not going to happen. So what have they chosen to do? They've chosen to give the front of the shirt over to a good cause. And that makes me really, really proud to be a Red. What about you?
Yeah, it's a fabulous thing that the club have done. And it shows just the positive energy and the vibe that's going around the whole city, really, at the minute. We've done it before, obviously. I think we've had some local charities on there before. But with the exposure that the Premier League has around the world, and this is obviously a worldwide brand and a worldwide campaign, so it's going to reach to every corner of the globe. So especially with everything that's going on in the UK at the minute with refugees and things like that, I think it's a really fabulous thing to do. And you can't fault them for doing that. If they can't find any sponsorship, this is the next best thing. And it's a really fantastic thing to see your club doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a quick note on this before we finish up. One of my friends who's a Derby fan did say, oh, well, you saw that Derby were doing the NSPCC. And I said, well, it might well be that Forest looked down the A52 and then Marounakis thought, how can I do that bigger? So, but it's really great, actually, you know, all joking and rivalry aside, it's great to see that the two kind of clubs most local to us, if they can't get commercial sponsors, they're using that for a good cause. And I say that I think that's something that we should all be proud of. And let's not poke fun at each other for it. It's something that we should be really proud that clubs in the East Midlands are doing this kind of work. So Thank you very much. We're going to finish it there. George, thank you very much for stepping in and giving us your views on the game. Where can we find you and your writing?
So on Twitter, if you go to @thefamousclub, you can find all my articles there. My handle is there as well, @George_Journo. We're on Facebook and Instagram as well. And if you search The Famous Club into Google, we'll pop up as well. Thank you very much as well for having me.
No, thank you, George. And yes, what I will say is obviously we provide a podcast, we provide something for you to listen to. If you want to read something, I strongly recommend The Famous Club. They are amongst the best in the game, and that's not just because you're sat there talking to me right now, George. So thank you very much. It finished 4-1 to Forest. We're into the next round of the Carabao Cup. We will be back after the Man United match with a review of the game, and wishing you a very Merry Christmas in the meantime.
Podcast Network.